I want to pick up on other topics over the last few days. And amongst them, of course, was we were talking about St. Augustine's. I will come back to prices and price gouging. So keep those coming. Text 0868104106. But the sad news of the closure of St. Augustine's prompted actually a lovely text from Pa the Piper. Pa, good morning.
Well, neat, how are you, bye?
How goes with you, pal? Good?
I'm good.
All right. Happy 83rd again.
Let me know, bye. I'm getting old, and cranky.
Well, you know, you got the 84th, 85th, and then the 90th, and before you know it, you'll
you
be a century.
You might come to me 90, right, Jeff?
Oh, I come to the big ones, all right. 83?
Oh, yeah.
83 is a kind of, neither here nor there.
Well, there's no drinks involved anywhere.
Why?
Because I'm a pioneer.
Did you ever have a drink?
I drink twice a year, winter and summer.
So you just became a pioneer for Lent, is it? Oh my God! Anyway, what is it with St. Augustine's? Do you think?
Yeah, well St. Augustine's, like, well, my church was St. Vincent's.
That's gone as well.
That's gone, and we used to go to mass every morning. My father was a doctor, and we used to go to mass for the missions every morning before they go to school in Strawberry Hill. I'd have to go down with him and the family, and there was 10 of us in the family, and we'd all have to go to mass before we hit Strawberry Hill school, mate.
Every day?
Well, mostly. No, well, we used to go to the missions. We were brought up being Catholics, and I said, that's all right. Right? And I go selling wax candles and same. I sold wax candles everywhere. But you know, out in Wilton, out in that church in Wilton.
Yeah.
I sold wax candles in St. Vincent's. I sold them outside St. Augustine's. I sold them up in near every church.
And what did you do with the money?
Well, my grandmother was a dealer, and she was into all that decorations and candles and you name it.
You started young, boy.
The course, yeah,
right?
I'd be older all day. I'd be in the Lancome school.
So when you... How bad? So when you were back in Strawberry Hill National School, would you go to mass every morning before it, or was it just during Lent, or...?
No. We'd be brought down there every morning before they go to Strawberry Hill school.
Yeah.
And then I'd have a big bag of sheets in a bag, and I'd have to bring him up to the poor good shepherd's convent, and he was, because my father was a doctor, and the sheets would be manky from the coal boats. Right?
Yeah.
And they'd freaking wash him, and stand. I said to the girls, I walked up there by, and that's it. And they'd start some sheets by, and they'd be immaculate.
You know, a lot of those poor girls had very sad stories, you know.
Oh, so they, well, they. I was probably wrong with the condoms and the girls' prison that time and all that. Like.
I know.
But I got thrown out of Strawberry Hill school then.
You got thrown out?
Yeah. When I was only 7 years of age.
Why did they train you out?
Yeah, listen, I went up, I cooked at the slaughterhouse in, you ever hear of Poker Town, in top of Downey Street?
Why, do they play a lot of cards up there or something?
No, that's what they call it. The top of this. Strawberry Hill, and there was a slaughterhouse there, and I used to be the first up to get a bladder, because my father was involved in Vincent's, and the old footballs, the leather ones, remember them?
I remember them.
I got a bladder, and I used to have it inside my bag, down the bottom of the classroom in the school, and Miss Brisbane, I always remember as a young fella, and she said, there's a smell in the classroom, and I got shagged out of the school.
Because of that, or was it a build-up of other things?
No, there was a smell of the fucking coal's bladder on the bag.
Well, were you kicked out for good?
Kicked out for good, and then I used to have to go in the line, then because my mother, if she knew I got sent out of school, she'd give me another class.
Oh, so then you didn't even tell them at home that you were trying out of school?
I told no one.
If you go to mass and go to school in the morning, but where would you actually go?
Lying down, by the women's jail there, down all there.
So for how long did you keep that pretense up?
Well, I kept up with it for about 9 months, and I taught my sister then, she taught me mother, I got about 10 tackles then again.
How old are you?
Got me down. I'll be 7.
They can't go throwing 7-year-olds out of primary school, like.
Huh? Well, I'm in the primary school, I think.
What was it?
No, he's breaking national school.
Sorry, yeah, national. They can't be throwing 7-year-olds.
My sister was upstairs and she told me mother then I got shagged out of school. Why? For what? And then when she told him about the blood and the smell inside the classroom.
Right. So did your mammy and daddy find you another national school then?
They brought me down to Blarney Street. And the only thing I loved in Blarney Street was playing the chancel, the flageolet.
Yeah.
He was dumping me into the fucking waste paper place. And he'd be trying to read big books or index or whatever the most. The waste paper.
How long did you last there then in Blarney Street?
I packed up at 12 years of age.
What did you do then?
I got a first job off of Protestant down in Merchant Street. No, Merchant Street by the Pearl Place.
Yeah.
And I got a job there at an army push bike. And they were mad about me. They were Protestants.
And why do you say they were Protestants? Did they treat you kinder than Catholics?
They were as good as my mother and father.
Well, you were a messenger boy for a shop, is it?
Yeah. And I had an army bike with a plate on the side of it. So the messenger boy was very good. I had an army bike. I was the lead.
Yeah. You had a company car, like?
Yeah, that's the right one. I stayed there then. I got 4 jobs then. I packed them up because I was only getting 25 bob a week.
Did you give that to your mum?
I gave that to my mother, the pound, and I kept the 5 bob for the surveys and all them places.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I went up the High Street to Daly's Chemist. I went from there to the county shops in Princess Street.
Were you always a messenger boy as you moved around, like?
Yeah, but I got a job in the county shops then. And they had me sitting in the back weighing and mortar for fruit. They had me weighing raisins and cousins, and I was eating them all day long. And you know what? She just had 4 pound of cousins missing. I was after dating them. and she comes in and she just thought, me milk was full. Boom, boom, boom.
Were you sacked for robbing, for eating the raisins?
Yeah. And then I went to the best man that I worked for, Vincey Nolan, the McAvoy, the fountain.
All right, so you're with the butchers then, yeah.
And he's a shop in the South Main Street, in the fridge in the market that time. I'd be telling the girls inside there, when they walked here, we were back in 57 or 50 years, I tell them there was nothing there. And then, what happened then, I would have never joined the army, so what did I do? I went out hunting one day because I was chasing rabbits on me, right? Not women, old rabbits. Right? And I went all hunting, and when I came back, my sister said, your boss is up. She said, tell him I'm in bed with the flu. No, I told him, you're going all hunting. Oh, my Jesus, I'd be sacked again in the morning.
I was in the Boston Hall.
It was the van driver, and he said he was in bed sick.
Fair play to him.
I walked into the market and he was saying, come on, Pat, he just passed it to be done. I was afraid he'd give me the bullet because if he'd only messed up, I was waiting to take your job. So I said, I'm going up to join the army. he was watching me further. You won't be taken in the army, you're too young. And I went up anyway and I was taken straight away and I walked into him a couple of days after in uniform. What did he call me? So they, Vincey, what do you think of me? Go, we a traitor.
What age were you?
I joined the army 16 and 3 months.
16 and 3 months, and off to the Congo you went. But do you know, with regards to the churches, were they always full to the brim?
Well, I tell you, St. Vincent's Church was packed every morning. He'd say this
of the week.
It was great, the whole week. And we said to go down from ground, down them steps every morning, down past the old convent there on Sunday as well. And I said,
it's all changed.
But there were great times. There were great times.
Well, I suppose in some ways they were, but there was a lot going on that either people knew about or ignored or didn't know about. And everything just changed, didn't it? You know?
The whole lot changed.
Can't get priests now. Priests are sharing parishes. Churches are closing. I mean, St. Augustine's would seat 100. Would you say that there were times when there was 1,000 people inside in St. Augustine's? Because that's what
at least, because I grew up nearly with my grandmother down the mass, and we were all baptized in St. Peter and Paul's, but I used to visit all the churches around the place, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's amazing because you could have 4, 5, or 6 masses on a Sunday and they'd all be full.
No, they don't want up, mate. Everybody wouldn't send me since just know that thing. They will.
Yeah.
Really Catholic.
Yeah.
But I tell you one thing anyway, when I was going to the Congo and I told the boys, all the fellas walked in Dundon, so they ain't going to the Congo, lad. He said, there's a war in the Congo. What do they know about the war? I bought me panic car and my maid and safe for 5 months.
You brought what?
I was going to Butlins. I brought me panic car and my maid thought I was going to Butlins. That's a fact. I was safe for 5 months out in the Congo and trying to keep back.
What did you bring?
Me panic accordion. Well, I thought it was nothing. Well, I didn't know about the Congo. I thought the Congo was up in Butlins.
Do you have it slung up on your back?
Huh?
Your piano accordion, do you have it slung up on your back heading off to
I didn't. No, me old tough bag. That was a kit bag that time.
You had no bagpipes at that stage, no?
No. So that's the story, no way.
You're a gas man. You're a gas man. Ha goes to the Congo and thinks he's going to Butlins. You got a rude awakening there, I'd say.
Oh, I give it a 3 times and I went to Cyprus 3 times then.
Cyprus 3 times. All right, well, keep flying the good flag, all right? And fighting the good fight. Mind yourself.
Yeah, and we're flying this year on the whole loads.
Keep it up. Keep it up.
And put up a tricolour and put up a red and white flag outside your door, will you, for God's sake.
Say hello to the bomber for me, will you?
I will. He's probably listening.
All right. Good luck, Pa. Stay in touch. Right, God bless. Take
good
care.
Luck, good
lovely
luck,
text on that, actually. Isn't Pa there the actual voice of Cork? Him and John O'Donovan are now two of the most authentic, original Cork accents you can get, says Morris. And Dan says, I love when Pa pops on the air. He's a breath of fresh air. Thanks for that. Keep him coming. Text 0868 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.